Hello and welcome back to Fly Life's F1 podcast. We're back for yet another podcast. On the week, 2 weeks before the first race of the season, we've just had testing. But first, I think we need to start on a bit of a somber note, where last week, Murray Walker passed away. A legend of commentary, probably the most recognizable voice in sport. He's definitely up there with a few other famous names. But Adrian, let's go to you first. What's your top Murray Walker moment?
There's plenty of top Murray Walker moments. Obviously, he's an absolute icon. You could say the Senna, Prost. I believe it was 1988, I want to say, when those two crashed into each other. And obviously, Prost won the title that season. You can have the one at Monaco when he was commentating with James Hunt. When James Hunt said a very nasty word, and Murray Walker would just brush past it and he'd carry on commentating it. But an absolute icon for Formula One, for broadcasting in general, and he will be missed, but never forgotten.
Yeah, what did Murray Walker bring to commentating? Obviously, he was a very enthusiastic. It's just, what impact did he have on people getting into F1?
I think it was a massive impact. I mean, you just look at some of his iconic lines. Adrian's already said a few. Personally, for me, I think David Coulthard winning his championship and the lump in my throat comments that Murray Walker said as that car came round for the final laps. I think that was absolutely brilliant. And just in terms of the impact that he had on the sport, he certainly brought new viewers. The way that he made everything sound exciting, even the boring races with inverted commas. I think I've just been corrected in the chat, Damon Hill. It might be in the Damon Hill. I'll take your knowledge on that one, Adrian. But it remains the same. It was fantastic commentary, and it was certainly a fantastic moment watching that back. Obviously, I didn't watch it live because of my age, but. Yeah, I would say that he will certainly be missed, and he was a fantastic commentator.
Yeah, most definitely. Izzy, what would you like to add on the legacy of Murray Walker in commentating? Because a lot of people talk about nowadays with... I've just had a mind blank. I can't remember what the Sky commentator is, but Murray Walker was one of a kind. And what do you have to say about his legacy in F1?
Yeah, I think we'll never get another Murray Walker. I particularly like what resurfaced again was there was a Pizza Hut advert with him and Damon Hill where he was commentating on Damon Hill ordering and getting a new kind of pizza that Pizza Hut were bringing out at the time. And there's clips of like him commentating on like Jeremy Clarkson getting him to commentate on snooker and things like that, and it's just exactly the same as the way he does it for F1. It's just brilliant, the enthusiasm and the knowledge that he could bring to an F1 race, and I think he definitely has inspired a lot of people to want to go into commentating, so hopefully we'll see some more people coming up through the ranks, people like Alex Jakes, who's incredible, who's slightly younger. And we won't ever get another Murray Walker, but hopefully we'll get someone like him.
Yeah, I think there is only one Murray Walker. But moving on to the F1 from the weekend, the testing. Verstappen won Friday and Sunday session. Won, got fastest lap. Bottas was quickest on Saturday. But going back to you, Izzy, how much can you actually take from testing? What does it actually mean for those listeners who don't know how that will correlate into like race performance, for example?
It's really difficult to look at the times and figure out, does that mean that that's exactly going to be the order for quali in the first race? Because it's just not. Mercedes have a long history of sandbagging and pretending, you know, hiding their true form. But what you can take from it is if you watch it, you can look at the body language of the car, whether it looks easy to drive or not. You can look at the sort of technical things that they've changed. And if you're very techie, you can understand sort of what impact that might have. When things go wrong, you know, if teams like Sebastian Vettel, for instance, actually didn't get a lot of laps in over the 3 days because he every time he got in the car, there seemed to be some sort of problem that meant he had to come back in. So things like that obviously impact. You know, he's had less time. And yeah, so the times aren't necessarily representative, but basically what you've got to look at is what the car looks like on track, the body language of it, if it's easy to drive, and then you can try and sort of correlate that with some sort of order, basically.
And going on to Mercedes, that as Izzy mentioned, Kit, Lewis Hamilton had a few problems. Do you think that's just adjusting to the new car, or do you think there's a larger issue at play here? Because he did struggle throughout the entire.
He did beach it once, didn't he, in the sand, and another couple of spins as well. So it certainly wasn't a brilliant weekend for him. And I do agree with Izzy, what she's saying about the sandbagging and playing it down. I mean, they've been doing it the whole time since the car launch. Lewis Hamilton was saying in the interviews, obviously, he was right about the downforce. Every car's got the downforce issues now for this year. But he was saying it's quite a lot slower. He thinks Red Bulls might have a faster pace. So there's been a lot of commentary from not just Lewis, but the team in general about how the car isn't performing quite as well as they would want. But I'm sure it's Mercedes. You know, they've been so dominant for so many years. Well, all since the hybrid era, they've dominated the whole hybrid era. So really, is it going to be that much of an impact that they start looking like they're not going to win this championship? I don't think so. I think they will certainly pick that form up, find a few temps, even a couple of seconds before the actual season commences.
And Adrian, who I think is the podcast Ted Kravitz, due to his detail that he went into analysing the testing over the weekend. What were your takes from testing?
Thank you for the detailed insights. But I mean, testing was good in terms of the Red Bull pace that they showed. Max Verstappen was rapid, as he ever presently is. Sergio Perez looked to really get used to that Red Bull as well, as he went quickest in the morning. So those two look to be a force to be reckoned with. Yuki Tsunoda, also obviously the one of three rookies in the Formula One paddock, was quick alongside many others. But with testing, it's a varied scale of what you can really take from it, because all the different teams are planning on going on different runs, low fuel, high fuel, long run, short run. So you can take from what you can, but it will ultimately go down to qualifying in the first race and the whole season. So you can take from it a little bit, but ultimately it will all go down to qualifying in the races. When they start up in Bahrain in a week's time or 2 weeks' time, I believe.
And come straight back to you. Would you say it's you can't gain any ground on your rivals during testing, but you can lose it and lose the momentum going into the season?
Well, I mean, you can certainly say that. I mean, with testing and losing momentum, it's mostly to gain more knowledge about the car and to see how it handles, like we've already mentioned in this segment already. So teams will be looking on how the cars are handling it, especially with I believe it was said that the tyres are more heavier this season than they are previously, meaning that the weight of the overall weight of the car is a bit more heavier, which could be alluding what Lewis Hamilton has said about obviously feeling a bit heavier and a bit slower. But I mean, like I said, it will go down to qualifying and the races as they're the most important parts of the season. And I mean, whatever Mercedes are doing, especially with the sandbagging effect, and it will all come out in fruition of whether they can still be the top team in Formula One in qualifying and in the races throughout the year and throughout the season.
And Kit, do you think we could actually see a battle between the top two teams this season, which we haven't had throughout the entire turbo hybrid era?
Certainly think there'll be more of a battle than last year, although that isn't exactly hard to predict. I think the cars, I don't want to go into too much detail really and make myself look a fool come the end of the season, as testing anything can happen. But I do think the cars are more evenly matched. I do think they look better, actually. We'll come on to that later on, I'm sure. But I'm really, really excited for the season. I think it could be closer. Personally, Verstappen, as Adrian has already mentioned, was looking absolutely on fire. Perez is looking amazing in the car as well. And I like the sort of the new grid. Yuki Tsunoda is looking very fast as well. So it's going to be an exciting season for sure.
And finally, Izzy, what would you say is the thing to look out for in qualifying? Would you say it's like Sebastian Vettel, for instance, had his problems, so did Lewis Hamilton? Or would you say it's the you know, as we've mentioned, the progress that seems to have occurred from Red Bull over the winter?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the most exciting thing to look out for in quali is probably how close Red Bull can get to Mercedes. But I just wanted to add on to the Mercedes, what we've said about the Mercedes, is that I do genuinely think that they do have an imbalance with the rear of the car, and that's why we've seen the spins from Hamilton. And I did see some analysis that was the aero regs this season seem that it's predicted that they will favour a higher rake car, which is the angle, and you know, for anyone that doesn't understand the rake, it's the angle underneath the car, the difference in the like front suspension and back suspension. I think that makes sense. So yeah, favours a higher rake, so a bigger angle. And the Mercedes have previously, they've favoured a lower rake car. But the thing is, obviously, with testing, you get 2 weeks to then change that. Which obviously Mercedes are quite capable of doing. And you know, obviously as soon as those cars come out of the garages, there's about 10 million cameras trying to get close-up photos of every little change that they've made. And then people will like copy those changes. You know, that's what happens in F1. So I think, you know, yes, we've seen testing, but they've got 2 weeks to change, you know, copy each other and change what they think is going to work better. But in answer to your question, Ethan, I do think the most exciting thing to look out for in quali is just how close Red Bull are going to be able to get to Mercedes.
Okay, so moving on to the F1 livery tier list. So I'll just share my screen with three of you. So I found this tier list online. It is not complete. Ferrari is not on here, but we'll just get to that at the end, I guess. So obviously we've got five tiers: S, A, B, C, D. So S being the top tier, D being the bottom tier, and we're just gonna rank how nice the liveries look. So starting off with Mercedes. Now I'm just gonna go out there and say this is top tier.
I would agree.
No question. Agree.
But I'm not so keen on all the AMGs, all the stickers.
I think it looks alright.
I just think it looks too crowded.
Yeah,
it's not as nice as last year's.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't live up to last year's.
The black base is so much
stick
better.
Stick it in A.
Yes. I think stick it in A. Yeah, it's not quite like...
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We can review it at the end and see if we want to make
it. I do agree it's not as good as last year, so I guess that sort of has to demote it a rank. I will accept that.
So then moving on to Red Bull. Where are we thinking this?
It's a classic.
Yeah.
And, I mean, whilst it's like not any really different from last year, apart from Aston Martin not being on it anymore.
And it's Honda on the rear wing.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Well, that Aston Martin on the rear wing was quite...
It was quite nice, but I like the Honda look. It looks quite refreshing to have
that. And I just think it's so... that they don't change it because it's such a good livery.
Hmm.
If everyone hated it, they change it. But
it's not... Then, as it's
yeah, that, I reckon I reckon it's top tier, personally.
I would say A again, personally.
I'd personally stick it in S because if they're not...
I'd stick it in S.
If they're not
overruled you, Kit.
I'm getting outranked on all of these now.
Yeah, because it's like, as we all said, it's such a nice livery. It is pretty basic in terms of Red Bull because, you know, they've had the same livery for the last 15 years. But it's so nice that almost don't need to change it. So if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I think I just like change and evolution. I like seeing things change. So the fact that it's stayed the same just is, I'm not going to lie, it is a very nice livery, but I would just put it in A purely because there isn't enough different about it. But I agree with your points.
Mm. Moving on to McLaren then. See, the thing I have with McLaren livery, I think if you swap the blue for black, I think it will make it look so much better.
Yeah.
The contrast between black and the orange, I think that would look a lot nicer than between the blue and the orange.
It's not awful though, the blue and the orange. And no. I love the papaya.
Papaya?
Yeah, the orange is nice. It's different.
Personally, I wouldn't go higher than a B.
Yeah, I'd say maybe B.
I definitely wouldn't go higher than a B.
Because it's not quite as sexy as the Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of things when I look at it, it does actually look quite yellow in the photo, but it's not, obviously. When you see it in person, if you know what I mean, but there's a lot that could be better about it.
Aston Martin.
I won't accept anything but S.
Really?
It's the best looking car on the grid.
But here's the thing, right? I've got a point to make on this, and I've seen it a lot, and I completely agree. So it's nice. Of course it's nice. But don't you think a deeper racing green, like an old school Le Mans or like old school F1 racing green would have been beautiful? Like they've made it a bit too like the Mercedes colour.
They've got a point now.
Yeah, okay. It's a different racing green than the racing green I was expecting, but it's still green. And clearly green is the best colour.
I don't know if I put it in S, definitely not. I'd probably put it in
A. What, so B. It's worse than the Red Bull livery?
I would say so.
I think if it had a deep racing green, then it would have looked nicer. It's just the colour, they've gone a bit too sort of... It's all the same colour.
It's nice, but it's all the same colour. It's something different. It's be maybe a few stripes of the racing green or
it's got white. Pink in it.
Is it?
Pink accents.
It's got tiny pink accents, but not enough. And I think I made the mistake of looking at loads of sort of concepts and things beforehand of what it could look like. So now,
because you ruined it.
Yeah, because it doesn't live up to the concept, so I'm thinking it can't be an S because there are certainly things that you can improve about it. So I put it in an A.
Stick it in A.
Okay, but it has to be the top of A.
Of Mercedes.
Yeah. Just give me that one thing. It's green.
No, I'd agree. Let her have it.
It's green.
Well, let her have this one and then we can get our own way on others. Now, Alpine. I'm just going to go straight on that. This is a very nice car.
Yeah. See, I saw the renders and I thought it was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen in my life. And that's like the complete opposite of what everyone else is saying. I will admit it looks better on track. It does look better on track. I was pleasantly surprised by testing. But I don't know what it was about the renders. I just didn't like the shade of blue.
Electric blue?
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, I hate it. Like immediately. Which is like everything that I've seen is that everyone loves it and they think it's the best livery, and I don't like it at all. But then I saw it on track and it's redeemed itself a bit. But I will let you do what you want, because I know that that's like the complete opposite of what everyone else thinks.
Izzy, are you feeling okay today?
Yeah, I'm feeling fine.
Anyone influence you or anything? You know, no one's threatening you to.
No, genuinely, I saw the renders and I thought it was awful. But then on track, it looks a lot better.
Right, wow. Where are we sticking?
This has got to go eight.
It's got to go eight. It's lovely.
It's time to go.
I'm going to stay quiet.
If I speak, hey, I'm going to put up Bob Aston Martin.
just for that time. Heartbroken.
Now, well, Ferrari, because Ferrari's not on here, but Ferrari would
be.
Oh,
no.
D. No.
It's not going D.
It's
got to go in D. I'm sorry, but I have really strong feelings about this Ferrari, okay? I've some very strong feelings here. They've put the numbers in Comic Sans.
Yeah.
Why would you put the driver numbers in Comic Sans? And it looks like the back of it has been dipped in barbecue sauce. And that's not even talking about how they've put green on it and made it look like a Christmas tree.
Yes, it looks disgusting.
Yeah, that green is horrible.
It looks horrific.
Yeah, I didn't understand that green either. So, yeah.
Why have they done that? Why did they go and feel like, you know what, that's going to look like a good livery on our car. Let's put a splash of green on it, you know?
Yeah,
Dig. Thank you very much.
See, the thing is, Izzy said about the back of it looks like it's been dipped in barbecue sauce. I don't actually mind that so much. It's that green and the font of the car numbers that I have real issues with.
I just don't think that red and burgundy go together. Like, if someone put on an outfit that had red and they put like a red jumper on and burgundy trousers, I'd be like, what are you wearing? So why put it on a car?
Yeah,
but it does fade from the red.
Yeah, but it doesn't fade enough. It's too abrupt as well.
I don't like it. Let's move on. Because I'm done talking about.
Okay, we'll put that in D, theoretically.
Yeah. Theoretically.
AlphaTauri now.
Oh, this car is gorgeous. This car is. Put it in S, please.
Nah, I wouldn't go S. It has got white.
Put it in S.
This car is beautiful. It is fantastic.
Really?
I would put it in S, but it's up.
No, but I like the thinking behind it as well. Like, they've inverted it from last year because obviously, you know, they're kind of, the cars haven't changed that much. So they've only like inverted it. Like, I kind of like that way of thinking.
Really inverted it. It is
such a weird bluey gray. Inverted. It was last.
What do you mean it's a weird bluey gray? Sorry. What do you mean it's a weird bluey gray?
Well, okay. That's becoming big trouble. But I don't think.
Navy and white.
Yeah,
big waffle, put it in S.
I wouldn't put it in S.
I would go B personally. Top of B.
Kit, are you feeling all right? Is someone
your waffle.
Yeah. I don't think we can accept.
I actually had a call.
If this is not going bottom end of S, I want it top end of A. Thank you very much.
See, I do like the white rim. I'm looking at a photo now on my phone.
Yeah, so
it's a lot nicer than I thought it was.
Put it in S. Thank you very much.
Talk about it without knowing what it looks like.
For the white rims alone, I will allow it to go in A. I would put right for the white rims because they
waffle, go away. It's S. It's S worthy. Thank you very much.
Definitely not above Red Bull though.
No.
I'll take that. But it's S worthy. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll accept it. Next up is cars.
Okay.
I mean, aesthetically, like, if you are looking purely on what it looks like and not what it resembles, it's not that bad. But it literally has the Russian flag on the front wing. They had more than one driver, and their other driver was not Russian; he was German.
Yeah, and it's got the Russian flag as well on the back above the engine, I think, on the car as well. I think so.
They're getting investigated about it.
Mother Russia. I forget
that it's now owned by Mazepin's dad.
Yeah, however, the investigation, they've already done one, and they've supposedly bent the rules because essentially it's an American company, so they're not banned from putting the Russian flag on the car because it's not owned by Russia. It's owned by America. So even though they've got a Russian driver, they've got around it that way. But there is now a new investigation, which is probably the one that you were talking about, Izzy, looking into whether they've sort of bent the rules too much and they're going to ban it anyway.
See, but the thing is, they're not allowed to put the Russian flag on the car. Like, the Russian flag is banned because of the doping.
Yeah, but that's only for Russian athletes and Russian teams. Americans,
yeah, okay, but they've got a Russian athlete in the car driving the car.
Yeah,
yeah, but instance, because
if Mazepin finishes on the podium, he will have to use a European flag, I believe, and not the Russian flag.
Yeah, but that's because it's his achievement for him to be on the podium. But apparently, according to the law, because it's an American company that owned the car, it's all good. They can put a Russian flag on it.
Anyway,
where are we putting it? Yeah,
right, I'll put it in C. To be fair, I've got nothing against Russian.
It's not better than Ferrari.
They want to juice themselves up. Then
I just think it's badly done.
It is very badly done.
Like, there was a load of press. Like, oh yeah, Mazepin, I mean, I appreciate they probably do the liveries before that, but it's all like, oh yeah, Mazepin can't, you know, there was the like realization and the stories that, oh yeah, actually, you know, Mazepin won't be able to race under the Russian flag, and then they unveil their car, which is the Russian flag. Which I don't know, I just think, and also the fact that like Mick's driving for the team too, like, I just,
yeah,
it feels so skewed towards Mazepin, the whole, all of it. And it makes me a bit uncomfortable, to be honest.
I think we're in agreement on it. So, actually, yeah, to be fair, I preferred last year's livery as well. So on that basis, I'd stick in D.
So moving on to Alfa Romeo. Now, when I first saw this...
Is it any different?
That's exactly what I thought. I cannot see any difference with the 2020 livery, to be honest.
Is it any different?
I don't think it is.
But it's not a bad livery, though.
It's not a bad livery. I would put it in
Okay, I think it looks nice.
I'm not saying it's a bad livery. It's just no different to the seasons before.
Exactly the same.
I'm comparing.
Do you know what I really like, actually? They've got the green clover on it as well. Like that little bit of green. Which I quite like.
Yeah. I'm comparing the two now, and there isn't a lot different. There are differences, but it's pretty similar.
See? Nah.
No, I think it should go in B at least.
Bottom end.
It's pretty.
Bottom end of B.
Bottom end of B.
I actually prefer it over, I don't know. Well, yeah, okay, B.
Don't say you prefer it over the McLaren livery.
Well, I was considering, but I'll leave it. We'll leave it. We can leave it there.
I think you'd get sternly overruled there. Okay, and finally we have Williams. Now, I do like this livery. I think it's a little bit different from what they usually go for. It's kind of got the blue and the white, whereas in the past they've gone for white or blue. I do quite like it. I can see Izzy shaking.
No.
What is your problem with blue?
I don't have a problem with blue. I like the AlphaTauri livery. Anyway, I really like...
That's hardly blue. That's questionable blue. This is proper blue.
It's not questionable blue. It's navy blue.
It's navy.
Navy blue.
Anyway.
Be quiet. Let her speak.
So, I really like that they're sort of referencing the old cars, because I love, you know, referencing history, and I that's what's really nice about teams like Williams, is that they have such a rich history. And it's really nice that, you know, as the team is no longer owned by Frank Williams and the Williams family, that they've decided to reference the history. But I just don't think it's worked. There's not enough yellow in it, if they're trying to do that, there's very little yellow. And I just don't like the stripes. I saw someone say it looks like, you know, the bottom of a swimming pool when the water's moving and you get those like lines on the bottom of the swimming pool. And I can't, now that I've read that, and I can't unsee it anymore. So it's completely ruined it for me.
Personally, and I like swimming pools.
Cheers, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike swimming pools, Kit. I just don't want to think of the bottom of a swimming pool. Like, I'm paying attention to the racing, not being distracted by the fact it looks like a swimming pool. So I can't unsee that. And I really like it anyway. It's like they're trying to reference history and they're just not, it just misses the mark slightly.
I put it in B. C's harsh.
I haven't
got your take on it yet.
I said stick it in C. It's time to go put it in C. It's definitely better than the Ferrari and the Haas. But I wouldn't put it in B.
Yeah, no question. I would personally put it above the Alpha, but
no, absolutely not.
This is a man up in respect.
Cheers,
absolutely
Jeff.
Not.
So no, I'd stick it in C. I'd personally
can accept that. So that leaves our final tier list with in S we've got Red Bull and AlphaTauri. A we've got Alpine, Aston Martin and Mercedes. B we've got McLaren and Alfa Romeo. C we've got Williams. And then in D, Haas, Ferrari. Any changes you guys like to make?
I mean, I think Aston Martin should be higher, but I accept that we won't get there.
No.
It's just because it's green.
We don't. It's time to go. That's the end.
So, before we wrap the episode up, I have compiled a quiz. So it's 15 questions about the 2020 season. So this is testing the experts, the so-called experts, sorry, it's knowledge. And we'll just see who takes the crown. So
are we writing the answers down and then doing them at the end?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it that way. So
1 second.
Adrian's got to find a pen now. See, I was prepared. You must always be prepared when there's the possibility of a quiz.
See, the thing is, Adrian's got about 6 pages of notes on testing, but doesn't have a pen to hand.
Oh, he's got one. Here he is.
There we go. Okay.
I did 3 pages of notes. I reckon that's quite good.
I wrote half a page.
I didn't write a page, so I think I win on that department.
I wouldn't say that's a win, but fair enough.
I did 6. Does that make me the winner?
Yeah.
Well, it depends who wins the quiz.
Big brain.
So, question 1 then. Which driver suffered the most retirements in the 2020 season? Now, there are 5 options. So, there's Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Kevin Magnussen, Lance Stroll, or George Russell.
Are we, when we're talking retirements, we're talking they've started a race and then not finished the race only. Yeah, not like COVID.
Yeah, cool. They've not finished the race.
Just wanted to make sure I wasn't getting the wrong idea.
Okay, question 2. Which of these drivers did not lead the 2020 Italian Grand Prix at some point? Lewis Hamilton, Pierre Gasly, Lance Stroll, or Carlos Sainz?
Too easy, mate.
Question 3. Which driver completed the most laps in 2020? Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen, Alex Albon, Lando Norris, or Valtteri Bottas? Question 4. Which of these drivers did not set a fastest lap in a 2020 race? Got Max Verstappen, George Russell, Daniel Ricciardo, Lando Norris, Esteban Ocon, or Carlos Sainz? Question 5. What unusual modification did George Russell make to fit better in Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes? Question 6 then. What delayed qualifying for the Portuguese Grand Prix?
What was that?
What delayed qualifying for the Portuguese Grand Prix?
yeah, my memory is not as good as I thought it was. Starting strong, I'm not going to lie, but it's all falling apart.
Question seven now then. Which race had the fewest classified drivers? So, the Tuscan Grand Prix, British Grand Prix, the Eiffel Grand Prix, or the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix? Question eight then. How many different nationalities were there on the grid in the season opener? Question nine then, I believe. What was Max Verstappen not prepared to do at the British Grand Prix? So just to clarify, we're looking for something Verstappen said specifically that he was not prepared to do during the race. Question 10, then. When was the last time that Istanbul Park was on the Formula One calendar before the 2020 season? Question 11. How many races hosted double headers? So we need the number of races and then which countries or which tracks hosted double headers. Move on to question 12. How many points were Racing Point deducted around the legality of their car? Question 13. Mercedes broke which other team's record of 31 consecutive races in which they have led at least one lap? Question 14. What was the first race to have fans in the stands? And then finally, question 15. How much of the Australian Grand Prix was completed before it was cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic? Okay, then. So, ready for the answers?
Yep.
Yep.
Right. So, question one. What have you got for the driver with the most retirements?
I've got K-Mag.
K-Mag, Adrian, and Kip?
K-Mag.
Yeah, I also went K-Mag.
I don't actually believe you.
What, I also went K-Mag?
Yeah.
No, I was going to say Max Verstappen, but I did actually vote K-Mag.
It was Kevin Magnussen. So, question two. Which driver did not lead the 2020 Italian Grand Prix at some point?
Stroll?
It was
Sainz.
I put Sainz. Sure,
no, Sainz led after Hamilton pitted.
Oh, yeah, of course he did. Yeah.
But, oh, Stroll just got straight away by Gasly, didn't he, on the restart?
Yeah. So,
didn't actually lead it, did he? Oh.
So Gasly overtook Stroll. And I think even Kimi Räikkönen overtook Stroll.
Stroll just really messed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, Stroll bottled it, and that's why Gasly went on to win. Question three then. Which driver completed the most laps?
Kimmy?
Is it Norris?
It is Norris.
Oh, I thought I did well at the start. This is not good. Oh no.
Question four then. Which driver did not set a fastest lap?
Ocon.
20 race.
Ocon. I'd put Ocon as well.
I put Ocon.
It was Ocon.
Oh, thank the Lord.
If Ocon set a fastest lap, I don't know what I would do to myself. I would chuck myself off.
I can't remember which one Ricardo set.
I told you. Did I not?
One of the Bahrain races?
Was it not? Would it not have been one of the podium when he got a podium?
Oh, was it his first podium?
I think it might have been his first podium, which was Spa.
No, it wasn't Spa. It was.
Was it Hockenheim? Was it Hockenheim? Might have been Hockenheim.
I don't remember.
Could have been Hockenheim. It was one of those races ago. That just seems like a blur.
Yeah.
Imola?
No, he got put.
Because I don't know. Stappen retired in Imola.
I'm pretty sure it was Hockenheim.
It could anyway. Be, yeah.
Question five,
what unusual modification did George Russell make fit in Hamilton's Mercedes.
He wore race boots that were a size too small.
He did.
Yeah.
Go on.
There was much talk of his feet, I think. I think there was too much feet talk for me.
See, I wasn't even sure, because I thought that the race boots thing wasn't a modification. So I wasn't going to put it at first, but I couldn't think of anything else. So luckily I kept it in.
Well, I think Hamilton's about, what, 5'8", 5'9", and George Russell's about 2?
I think he's just 6 foot. I don't think he's 6 foot 2.
Is he? I thought he was tall.
No, because I think Ocon's a bit taller than him, I think. But yeah, Hamilton's quite one of the shorter ones.
Not quite as short as Tsunoda, though.
No.
Question 6.
What's so interesting about Tsunoda and you?
We're the same height.
As you are. You never fail to remind us each other.
Well, it's exciting because now I can figure out how tall I'd be if I stood next to an F1 driver. You know, when you see the press photos? I'm so bored in lockdown, okay? I'm so bored. It's the small things that give me joy.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, moving swiftly on to question 6 then. What delayed qualifying for the Portuguese Grand Prix? And I have to say, your faces, when I read that question out, did make me very happy because you all looked absolutely baffled.
It was the pickup truck, wasn't it?
Was it a dog on track?
I put animals, just because I had no idea and guessed.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
The drain cover came loose.
Oh! I'd forgotten all about that.
Get in the bin.
Now you mention it.
I think they had to go around and bolt down all of the drain covers on the...
Yeah, that was long. I'd forgotten about that.
Question 7. So which race had the fewest classified drivers?
Was it the Tuscan Grand Prix?
It was Tuscan. I think it was 12 that finished there.
Because they had that big crash on the restart, didn't they?
Mm. Yeah.
Big crash.
I had to think about it to remember which tracks the races were, because you gave them all their proper names and I was like, which race was that? I can't remember.
Question 8. How many different nationalities were on the grid in the season opener?
I've written 14.
Correct.
I wrote 12, and then I remembered Giovinazzi, and then I wrote 13, and then I remembered that I'd forgotten Latifi and Stroll.
I found these questions online, and when I saw that question, I thought I could only work out 12 because I forgot Giovinazzi and Sainz.
If I put effort into this and actually wrote down all of the drivers, then I might have got it. But I kind of just went on guesswork and put 11.
Waffle. Move on.
See, I put effort and wrote down them.
Yeah, I could have done that, but nah. I'll give
you a
win.
And then the other question, when you all looked very bewildered, was question 9. So what was Max Verstappen not prepared to do at the British Grand Prix?
Drive like a grandma?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll accept that. It's sit behind like a grandma.
Yeah, I do remember that.
The exact words I've written is stay behind Hamilton. Was it Hamilton? I don't even know if it's Hamilton. And drive like a grandma.
It was Hamilton. Was it Bottas? Question 10.
Driving like grandmas.
When was the last time Istanbul Park was on the Formula One calendar before the 2020 season?
2012.
No. I wrote 2005, but I can't...
2007.
2005?
Yeah, look, I don't remember.
Seven. Is it not?
Adrian's very close. It was 2011.
Yeah, I don't remember those things. I just can't remember them.
I thought I had that one.
The Sebastian Vettel one.
I knew if I put 2012, I guarantee I'd be one off.
I really thought I had that one. I'm not going to lie. Question 11. I thought I'd have like half of these.
How many races hosted double headers?
I've written Silverstone, Bahrain, and Austria.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need both parts to get the
point. I completely forgot about Bahrain.
Adrian, you made me panic for a second. I thought I got that one wrong.
I forgot about Bahrain.
I thought there was one more than that. I thought I was missing one. But clearly not.
No, there was
Italy.
Three Italian Italy. Grand Prix, but they're all with different circuits.
Yeah, that's what I was.
It was Tuscany and Imola that were back to back, but at different, but they're different circuits. So,
yeah.
Question 12: how many points were racing point deducted around the legality of their car?
15.
30? 15. Was it not 30?
I swear it's 15.
I think they got it reduced to 15.
Oh.
If I remember correctly. Question 13. Mercedes broke which other team's record of 31 consecutive races in which they have led at least one lap?
Ferrari?
No.
See, I wrote Ferrari and then you read it. Who is it?
Williams.
Oh.
Ooh.
I think that was when Mansell was there, if I'm right.
We all went wrong with that.
When I saw that question, I thought, oh, I wouldn't have expected that one. Question 14 then. What was the first race to have fans in the stands?
Portimao?
No, I thought it was Portimao.
Monza?
No.
Was it Monza?
Tuscan Grand Prix.
Was Monza not before the Tuscan Grand Prix?
Yeah, I don't think it was Monza.
They had doctors and nurses, didn't they? Or was that Mugello? I don't know. I think I might have mixed up my Italian races.
It was very easily done. I think there was about three races within about the space of five rounds. So, yeah. How much of the Australian Grand Prix weekend was completed before it was cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Probably two.
No.
None of it?
Yeah, none it was it. A trick question. It was none of it.
I knew it was going to be a trick question.
That's why I clarified, because I was like, what's he talking about? They just went there and
It was about an hour before the first practice session.
So yeah, I've written none of it, question mark. And then I wrote press conferences, question mark. Does that count?
I literally knew that. I was like, I swear none of it did. But then when you asked a question, I was like, I'm just going to put a random guess in there, go straight bang down the middle, quali two, and yeah, mission failed.
I bet Adrian's won.
Not been my day today.
Adrian, how many points did you get?
9 for Adrian.
9. I got 9-2!
What'd you get, Kit? I'm guessing it's not 9.
9.
Mm. No, you didn't.
Yeah. I did, yeah.
No way did you get 9.
I did. Yeah. Just turn it on its head and then I've got a 9.
So you got 6. That's poor. That's
that less than poor. Half. To be fair, 9's not too much better, to be fair.
Okay, to be fair, it wasn't my day today, clearly.
So I think that wraps up this episode. So next week, we'll be back again, which is the weekend before the first race of the season. So thank you guys for listening. We'll see you for that next episode. I've been joined by Izzy Holman, Adrian Keita and Callahan. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.